The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare, called Your Best Healthcare Now. It's available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. He is talking about Alzheimer's, and there's a lot to talk about. Hi, Frank.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. Unfortunately, this is part of our series on Alzheimer's because it's such a prevalent disease, and we know it's widespread everywhere, including in our little corner of the world. So we're looking at Alzheimer's through the eyes of the Germain family. This is a family I met before. David, the mother and patient, is Linda, and the daughter is Emmy. And I met them a little while ago at the Alzheimer's Foundation conference. And they had the courage to get up on the stage, really impressed me and thrilled the audience, actually, by getting up there with Linda and talking about caring for her as she's now slipped into dementia and actually diagnosed with Alzheimer's about 3 years ago. They did it, you know, for no reasons of their own to get any advantage from it. They did it because they are learning to be better caregivers, and they want to do everything they can to make people who are caregivers do as good a job as they possibly can. So Alzheimer's, terrible disease, progressive disease, there's no cure. We'll talk about that at length in this series. There's no cure for it. It only gets worse. It gets worse just a little bit every day, every month. And as it progresses, it goes through stages, and they're more or less in order. So it begins with a denial, and this is a mutual denial. The family doesn't want to admit that someone is, that one of the loved ones is slipping, and certainly that patient doesn't want to admit it. That gives way to a profound sadness and anger when they realize, uh-oh, this is the situation we're in. Then comes the moment when it should be shared as widely as we can. We'll talk about that a lot today. Then there's an acceptance. And finally, there's a stage where the caregivers come around to realize that they need caregiving. This is a very burdensome. It can be rewarding. It's very meaningful to take care of an Alzheimer's patient, but it's also very trying and extremely frustrating, and people need all the help they can get. So, look, last time we talked about denial, we talked about it at length. If you missed it, go to Robin Hood Radio On Demand. And you can punch in my name, Frank Lally, and up will come the denial of Alzheimer's broadcast. It's very important. And the bottom line is this. It's a two-way street, as I was saying, and you can't ignore the little symptoms you start to see and just say, oh, gee, she's just having a bad day, or he's you know, forgetful lately, but I don't think it's anything important. Look, you know, because things can get dangerous, and they can get dangerous very quickly. Carol's mother, who slipped into Alzheimer's, profound, actually, at the end. Yes, she lived down in Florida. We didn't realize what was going on exactly, but all of a sudden, she was having these little accidents, little fender benders. She was driving into trees, and, you know, that was a clear sign that she was slipping into things she could get hurt. You know, it reminded me of the old Roger Dangerfield joke where he says to his wife, hey, you drove into a tree. And his wife says, I honked. I mean, you know, I honked, but there was a tree standing in front of her. So look, after denial comes this profound sadness. And David and Emmy both said, look, your first instinct, and you shouldn't feel guilty about this, but your first instinct is going to be feeling sorry for yourselves in almost all cases. Why is this happening to us? Why is this happening to our family? Why is this happening to me? And Emmy said, you know, look, I really felt so badly for myself. And I threw myself a real pity party. And that lasted for a while. But she's a smart Tulane graduate. She's about 25 now. And she said, I came to realize that I have not lost my mother. Linda is still here. She's still my mother. I still love her. What I lost was the mother of my childhood, but not Linda herself. And David said something very similar. He said, you know, I cry. I mean, to this day, I cry. But I cry for Linda. because look, this is much more frustrating for her than it is for anyone else. So we hang out together. We, you know, we hold hands, we watch TV together. Now, Linda says, what's this and what's that? And, you know, a lot of it doesn't make sense to her. So we laugh. We laugh at what we're watching on TV, but we're together. And she asked me over and over again, she says, are you my boyfriend? And he says, well, yes, I'm your boyfriend. In fact, I'm your husband. And we've been married now for 27 years. He said, and then I show her the pictures. I show her our wedding pictures, and I show her our anniversary pictures, and I show her a picture of Emmy. And I say, that's our daughter. And isn't she beautiful? And she's so smart. And that makes Linda happy. So they've learned a way to share together a life as they remain giving each other as much support as they can. But I don't want to make any light of this, Jill. Alzheimer's is and caring for Alzheimer's is a very frustrating experience. Have you had experiences along these lines?
Yes, but it was after it was not preparation as much as it was, this is what it is. So, in other words, It didn't start. I didn't have to deal with the slipping. It's like, yeah, she's got. Right. She has this. We need to care for her, and watch as. It's different when you first start to suspect it.
Right.
And when you know that yes, my grandmother has Alzheimer's or.
Right.
And yes, it gets it gets worse.
Right. So I think what we want to say is, don't turn away. There's the denial, and then there's the realization. Oh my, this is now part of our lives. Don't turn away, for many, many reasons, including how dangerous it is if you do. I mean, another experience that we had with Carol's mother, she would say, all of a sudden, company's coming. Oh, my God, 12 people are coming. We have to set the table. And she'd want to set the dining room table up for a big party with everything, you know, with the soup bowls and the regular bowls and all the utensils and candles on the table. And she'd want to do it in a hurry because they were on their way. They were almost here now. And she'd do that at 3 a.m. This is a real pattern. It would happen a couple of times a week. Now, luckily at that point, when the delusions are that grand, we were lucky enough to have a caregiver living with her 24/7. And the caregiver that was her job really overnight, is to just, if Carol's mother slept, great. If she got up and wanted to do something around the house and clean it or set it at that table, then the caregiver was there to give her that support. And it also happened to a milder Aunt Jeanette, our beloved Aunt Jeanette, Carol's aunt, who lived actually right next door to us in the city. She would call Carol at 3 a.m. just feeling lonely. I mean, the phone would ring and she'd say, hi, what are you doing? Well, I was sleeping. Now I'm talking to you. So this became a real pattern. And all of a sudden, one night, no call. And Carol and I woke up in the morning and said, hey, this is good. And she didn't call. So we drop in on Jeanette, see how she's doing in the morning, as we always did. She had cut the phone wires.
There's
and
a reason.
Said, yeah, she cut the phone wires.
No, and, but that's the thing.
Yeah. And Carol said, why did you cut the phone wire? And Jeanette said, well, I needed some string. And this looked like the handiest string.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's also a level where you have to have humor and you have to understand that when the pattern is broken, it's not necessarily for the reason that you think.
You know, I hit the tree. I honked. Right. Whatever. You just go with the flow.
No, but that actually
is
hugely.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry to just from a practical standpoint, going with the flow, once you realize that going with the flow is the best approach, it does make it easier for everyone. It's certainly less frustrating for the people who are dealing and living with
Yeah. And that's the absolute, you're putting your finger absolutely on it, because the worst thing you do is get angry. What have you cut the phone wire for? Because this is not the patient cutting that phone wire. This is Alzheimer's disease cutting that phone wire. David said to me, look, Alzheimer is doing this to Linda. I mean, she tries to put her blouse on his pants. I mean, this is not Linda. This is the disease that's frustrating Linda more than it's frustrating me. It's making her angry at herself and how she is not being able to do the things, the natural things that she was always able to do, more than it is me watching her. She has the deepest frustration. She needs my support. She needs my sympathy and support and my love. She does not have to see me being frustrated with her. So, another friend of ours, his wife finally didn't remember him. She was in a nursing home at that point. He would go every day and he would sit with her every day. And a friend of his said, why do you do that? She has no idea who you are, and she doesn't remember that you've been there. Why do you do that? And he said, because I remember who she is. And I think that's the attitude you should take with you when you're in a situation like that. So the sadness will give way, and the next stage that you should face is sharing this very bad news. Our beloved aunt, our beloved mother, now has Alzheimer's, and she's slipping away from us. And this is a tough decision, deciding when to share really bad news like that. It's always tricky. If the person is already working, or if that person fears he's going to be belittled in the neighborhood, looked down on, it's tough to face that decision. But it is very important that you finally do it. Now, I understand this really, really personally. When I was diagnosed with blood cancer 10 years ago, I didn't even tell my brother that very bad news. He lives in Chicago. I don't see him. So it was okay for me to sort of get by for a couple of months. I didn't tell him until I was successfully treated. And I could give essentially good news. But then I told everyone at that point. I wrote articles about it. As you guys know, I wrote my book, Your Best Healthcare Now. It's based partly on my illness and other people like me and what you can do about it when you get a profound illness. So you come to that stage where it's time to share. And David says, look, it's difficult. First, he had to share with Emmy. Our worst fears are true. Mom's been diagnosed with it. And, of course, Emmy's first reaction was, we've lost my mom. She's gone. I don't have her any longer, before she realized that, no, Linda's still with us, very much with us, and we can still be with her. And then David had to tell Linda's older brother, 5 years older. And of course, his fear was, why my sister? And does this run in the family? And who's next in the family that's going to get this disease? Now, here, there's good news, because David said he's looked at all the studies, and Alzheimer's is so prevalent, people think it's hereditary, because more than one person has it in the family, like our mother and Aunt Jeanette, like Carol's mother and Aunt Jeanette. No, David says, the studies show very positively that this is not a hereditary disease. It just happens to be one that's very prevalent. But at that point, David then, after he had the conversations with Emmy, with Linda's brother, then he told everybody, and he said, it's one of the best things that you can possibly do, because you'll be amazed at the friends and family who then come rallying around. Now, in Linda's case, that's especially true. She was a high-powered executive at Liz Claiborne, the fashion house. At one point, just a couple of years ago, she was running $1 billion worth of business for Liz Claiborne. She had mentored all countless numbers of people in their careers. And the phone rang, and these people said, we just heard about Linda, and so-and-so told me, what can I do for you? And this is the part of the conversation I had with David where David got emotional. David teared up. He said, I can't tell you how important it is for those people to come rallying around. my phone rings and these old colleagues say, can we come over and dance with Linda? We know Linda always loved to dance. Is it okay if we come over and play some music and dance with her? And he says, yeah, sure. Come on over. And they have a little party and they put the music on. They dance in the living room. And Linda's very happy. And he's very happy. And the family's happy.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and the health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable health care to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in store, and as everyone knows, on my desk.